You're not better than me. My book's just as valid as your book.
It's as valid as some of the books we read last year.
It is. I'll give you that. It is as valid as some of the books we read last year.
So, yeah, I'm Nate. That's Ben. We're just going to dive right back into Edenverse. It is the only book club podcast episode of this year that we plan to be about a crappy indie book.
But it's our crappy indie book.
You goddamn right. We're going to try and mainstream this shit so that your average listener who doesn't like book podcasts about young adult literature can come here and they can not read books but listen to a podcast about two guys discussing it, and they can enjoy it and they can feel a little better about life.
Dude, I'm not going to lie to you. I tuned out through most of that, and when I came back in, I had no idea what you were talking about.
That's okay. I'm trying to figure out the way you have who the audience is for our podcast. And so I decided, you know, like we're just going to go for it, Ben. All right. So let's talk about let's dive right back into Edenverse with one of your stories.
Okay.
No.
Okay, go.
No. I'm talking about how our audience, we're trying to shoot for people who will listen to a book podcast that isn't just discussing young adult literature or fan fiction on young adult literature.
I don't know where this is coming from.
I think you mentioned it. I think this one's on you.
Okay. Did I mention it?
And also on Rum. What?
Did I mention it publicly, or is this like a
private? No, you did not. This is a private thing. You cut all that. I mean,
okay, your inside jokes are so strange.
I love you, Ben. All right, okay. Let's start with Cannon Fire.
Are you drunk?
Second story you wrote. I'm not drunk. I tried. I drank that gross peppermint shit, and I think three shots of rum, and I feel nothing. I feel nothing.
Okay. I'm noticing a slight change.
Cannon Fire.
Okay, Cannon Fire. Oh, Cannon Fire. Can I do a 10 words or less?
No.
I was going to say Manic Pixie Dream Girl carves up monster corpses.
That's accurate.
Except she's underage. She is not your dream girl. Leave her alone.
Hey, if it's good enough for Edward.
Edward Cullen of Twilight. Yes.
Yeah.
So Cannon Fire is another one of my stories that I kind of like. It is about a girl who lives out in the wilderness of this crazy world where there are all kinds of monsters and demons. And she has figured out how to cut them up and use their body parts, which do not rot for some mysterious reason that is addressed, that I have a reason for that. She uses them to make various weapons, and she's kind of like a Tony Stark plus Hellraiser figure. And she has a pet giant wolf, and that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I would like to be this character. She has giant wolf, and they talk, and they hang out, and they're best friends. And she winds up meeting a guy who was doing some kind of aerial survey of the region she is in. He crash lands, and together they have to fight off a horde of monsters that attacks her little base.
So in the notes you have, Allison is the character of yours that you most like, and you wish you had given her the protagonist treatment that Dave got and sidelined Dave. So, what about Allison do you like more than Dave that you would want her to be the showcase?
Oh, specifically that Allison has more room for growth. She does not know everything that's going on. She's not the hyper-cool smart boy. She is kind of like Manic Pixie, but she has abilities, she has earned them, she has an origin that is kind of clearly defined, and there are things about the world she doesn't know that she would like to know. Her motivations are simpler and more obvious, and she makes better protagonist sense than Dave. Dave is kind of like the fucked up Gandalf of this world. And Allison is more of like a an Aragorn type figure.
He's the wise master.
Yeah, well, he's the one that knows all the stuff. But he can't be the protagonist because he already knows all the stuff. Like, his journey is kind of over, but hers is just beginning. So I wish I'd given her the protagonist treatment.
And am I supposed to get Full Metal Alchemist vibes from this story?
Yes, you are.
Okay, because I definitely did.
Yes, it is not so subtly influenced by Full Metal Alchemist, and she's more like steampunk than cyberpunk. The wolf, though, I mean, like, it's a hodgepodge of tropey anime type stuff. She is definitely more anime than the other characters, but this was where I think I sort of started realizing we were going to be doing serial stuff, and so I wrote a character that was better suited to being in a serial.
Well, you did like what I did with the wolves in the Great Wasteland Train, and you're like, I'm going to take that. Are you okay with that? I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Were you okay with it?
So you did. Yeah, we were fine.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck.
That's the benefit to having a co-author, is you're not entirely reliant on your own creativity.
Speaking of creativity, Manhunt.
I love that transition.
It's probably my least favorite of the stories I wrote,
Can I confess something to you?
Yeah?
I don't remember this character's name.
Alec.
Okay.
So, this is the third story I wrote. Like I said last time, it was either this one or it was Suicide Mission, where you're like, if it's not done, I think we just call it quits. I think this one took like 6 months to come out. Like, we were like, we'll get it done. And then, like, I graduated, and I had to test for my state boards, and I think we got this out in, like, October of that year. In fact, I think we got it around Halloween. I remember we posted something in our little blog, like, oh, it's just in time for Halloween.
And like we'd always planned.
Yeah, we took a little break so that we could bring you this amazing story. Asterisk may not be amazing.
May not have anything to do with Halloween.
So
not one of the monster ones.
So the character is Alec. I think he actually did have a last name. I just cannot remember it for the life of me.
Baldwin.
Only if he agrees to play the character in the live action adaptation of this book that we plan on doing in 2024 on a budget of $500.
We should have a... Oh boy, how much do you think we'd have to pay Momo to just animate the whole book?
You know what? I'll ask her. You know, the
sad thing
is... She
reads the book and the price goes up.
Yeah, the sad thing is, if she did that, it would get, like, way more views.
Oh,
then the book itself.
Visual media, like books and TV, get more views than books?
Yeah.
Shocking. I did not know that.
How much would you want to animate the entire Edenverse book? I put that part in all caps. Ben wants to know
just
on air.
Tell her you've had a little bit to drink.
And I've had a little bit to drink, so I'm going for it.
What? Okay.
Ben says, what? Okay. So, Manhunt. I brought back Dave, and Alec is a guy who he's just an embarrassment in retrospect. He wears a fucking fedora hat, I think.
I thought it was like an Indiana Jones hat.
It could be, I fucking don't remember. It's one of the two, right? And probably also...
he's a Duke LaGrange type.
I was going to say he's a Jim Butcher type.
Does he tuck his sword into his jeans?
Well, I was thinking I was going to, in volume two, if we ever do volume two, I was just going to lean all the way into it, like a bulletproof sweater vest. Just the dorkiest outwardly appearing loser.
Look, dude, I'll be honest with you. I don't think Edenverse Volume 2 is like our next professional project.
God, no.
But I'm kind of selling myself on it. Like, I think it might need to happen after all. And I think we might need to just, like, really give up. Like, I think we might just really need to lean all the way in. I'm telling you, Edenverse Volume 2, /retcon.
Is it going to be, like, that Harry Potter fan fiction?
It's going to be, there's going to be like some mystical entity that comes in and is like traveling through time and fixing, like changing the universe story.
Oh, man. So finishing up Manhunt real quick. Alex's backstory has changed about a million times. I actually don't know what it is anymore. And
he has a daughter.
He's a bounty hunter. He's going after Dave. Yeah, he has a daughter. He's going after Dave. Dave outwits him and escapes. I don't know why Dave walked willingly into a trap. I can't remember that.
Oh, it was Dave was going around and stealing data from Eden outposts.
Sure.
And he figured out, Alec figured out the pattern, because he's also like a Thrawn type. He looked at Dave's DeviantArt.
But yeah.
He looked at Dave's DeviantArt and he figured
he put a map up and then he drew a straight line and was like, ha!
That is kind of what happened, right?
He's going in this general direction in a straight line.
No, it wasn't.
I figured him out.
I'm going to help you because it wasn't that dumb. He figured out that there was a pattern of robberies and break-ins in Eden facilities that were consistent with what he knew about, like, Carl and all that stuff.
Yeah, and I did put in some lines calling back to you, where he goes, "What is a Carl?" Like, haha, Dave said the same thing. I don't know why I'm doing this. Alright. And then they have a little fight and Dave escapes. And also we couldn't decide why Eden would hire this guy to defeat Dave, because obviously they had to think that he could potentially win, or maybe, yeah, we kept going back and forth on that one after the story was written and already published. So again, this was not very well planned out. This is a theme. Edenverse Volume 1, we didn't plan this shit. Edenverse Volume 2, retcon.
You did introduce a new CEO character, or not CEO, executive.
Ivan.
Yes, Ivan.
Yes.
Who's an old man that can be invisible.
And go through walls and shit. Through walls, disappear, and fly. He was much more unique than the other guy. He's an old man Danny Phantom. There's your outdated reference.
Get Butch Hartman on the horn. I got a pitch. Danny Phantom. The Doctors of Eden.
Yeah, this is just a little short story that I wrote really quick, and I liked it because it had to do with healthcare, and I was like, oh, I'll just fucking do a little story on what healthcare in this world is like.
Can I just say real quickly, that is the other thing. Like, you can definitely tell which stories we knew what we were talking about.
Business? No, we had no fucking clue, but healthcare, I've got you. Yeah, I guess it ties in a few characters, or there's some events or so. I can't remember exactly. I know Elsa's there, but it's just like a doctor going through his day in a town that's about to be the flashpoint for a fucking civil war.
I'm sorry, do you have any more about Doctors of Eden?
No, let's go to the aftermath. This is another interlude, but I think it's the only interlude that was actually somewhat important, question mark? It was trying to tie several stories together. It was about Clarence.
Which is what you should do in an interlude.
Yeah, it was a great idea. It's basically a full half story, for whatever that's worth. So, Clarence, he was, we came to the conclusion he was not a terrifying villain. he kills people, but then he gets hit by a car. And
karma comes quickly for Clarence.
So in this one, he disembowels a man, and I tried to rehab Clarence a bit
by having him disembowel.
Yeah, and you get to look into his mind and see what he's about, and then he's summoned elsewhere to go deal with a fucking thing that we couldn't do anymore or use anymore.
Whoops.
Yeah. Oops. And then anything else you want to say on that?
No.
I had fun writing it.
I have very little memory of this one.
It's Clarence post ass kicking by Will, and then he goes off to meet with Ivan for the Golem project. So then we go to breaking news and Tidal Pool, and this is my cringeworthy, embarrassing thing where I should have based it on a real thing.
I was gonna say your turn to not properly research.
Yeah, and we ended up not like you were like, why did we do this? Like, why would the rebels kill the governor? So we ended up having to lampshade that and come up with a reason in the next one, which is Fragile Alliance.
This phrase lampshade is doing so much work.
It is.
I've never heard it before.
We called out that it made no sense and it was dumb at the beginning of Fragile Alliance, your fourth story, Ben, and that's the next one.
Oh,
on
boy.
You.
We're blowing through yours, huh?
Do you have anything more you want to say on any of those three?
No.
fun to write. Oh, sorry. In order. I knew what I was talking about. Fun to write and embarrassing. in that order.
Yeah, Fragile Alliance. Enter the rebels. Thing we probably just shouldn't have done.
Well, the rebels showed up in Showdown at the Tidal Ruins. So again, that caused some continuity issues.
Yeah.
You're right, because if we're going for a cyberpunky thing, I mean, you can have, like, terrorists or whatever, but this was becoming more like Rebels versus the Empire from Star Wars, and not like...
Very much
small,
so, yeah.
Yeah, it's not small group of people causing terrorist actions against a giant corporation mega power. It's two armies fighting each other, and it didn't work.
Yeah, so this kind of came from, like, the initial concept was the cities were safe. Everything outside the city was just getting wrecked constantly by monsters. That was the initial concept. Then we decided that there was some stability in the Outland as well. And the Outland...
I called it the Shadow of Eden. Things that grew up close to the seeds.
Yeah, so then it became sort of like a frontier, and we wound up developing like frontier political problems where eventually these settlements were so far from civilization that they kind of had their own rules and they were kind of hard to control, and rebellion formed, like open rebellion towards Eden, which was also like a terrorist cell, which was led by Mr. Garrett Royce in this story.
It was led by a bunch of different leaders.
There were a bunch
kind of takes control at the end.
Yeah, so there were kind of like different gangs that, like, there were resistances near each major city, which we called seeds. And they each sort of had adapted to their own location, and they sort of specialized in different types of resistance. Like, some were more technical, some were more aggressive. And they had all come together to try to take over Tidal Pool because they were building a new shield dome over Tidal Pool. And this would give them like a proper base to really just declare open war from. And they have to take over, and they have this plan to like get the Eden troops destabilized and invade the thing. And this story is about them laying the groundwork. Like, there's a series of explosive charges that need to be set. They need to get weapons. This is also where I introduced the vampires.
Yeah, you introduced them earlier in a story that you ended up cutting. And then I used it for the suicide mission story, and so they just became canon.
So we didn't have, at this point, any sentient, intelligent monsters. Everything was sort of animalistic, like mutated animals. They were true, just monsters. So the vampires were going to be the first ones that were intelligent and working behind the scenes to stop Eden. Like, they were...
And to also date underage girls.
Not in my story. In my... Like, we had conceived them kind of as a different species. Like, it wasn't like you got bit and turned into a vampire. I was kind of using inspiration from George R. R. Martin's Fever Dream, a book that you may have heard of. It's George R. R. Martin's vampire book.
Did he finish it?
He did.
Oh my god.
It's one book. It's pretty good.
Oh, okay. There it is.
Yeah. It's one book. It's pretty good. But the vampires in that reproduce just sexually. They don't... They're like, births are rare, which is why there are not tons of vampires, but yeah, they can't turn you by biting you. There's no way for a human to become one of them. And that's sort of how I conceived these guys, and I'd be lying if I said it wasn't inspired by that. This story introduced the whole, like, it might have been possible to make volume 2 before we did this story. This story demands that some giant conflict happened in volume 2, and it kind of fucked everything up.
Yeah, I put down, I think the idea was we needed to set the stage for the second volume, only we realized that we didn't like the direction everything went as we were writing the second volume. And this was kind of the reason for that, because we thought, like, okay, let's get this story in there, and this will help us set up the next volume.
The problem was it took us so long to do the editing and get it published that by the time we were really seriously looking at writing volume 2, we'd matured, and we didn't want to follow the path we had locked ourselves into.
We actually wrote out on your whiteboard, we planned out every installment of volume 2. And we have since thrown all that out. That was a long time ago. We threw all that out.
It wasn't good. This made us focus on this conflict for volume 2. And this conflict is dumb. There's no other way to say it. It just doesn't jive with the original. Like, this is where you can really start to see it is now really no longer related to the first 2 to 3 stories. It's not cyberpunky. It's not corporate anymore. Now it's like a star. It's like you said, Star Wars Rebels, and you know how I feel about Star Wars. I don't like this, and I don't want to write this anymore. And it is the single biggest factor that is preventing a volume 2.
We also had the issue of we wanted to have all the characters come together, and it wasn't that kind of story.
No, it just doesn't make sense. It got comic booky, I think, is the thing.
Well, yeah, it was the Avengers. Yeah, all the Avengers are coming together.
Yeah, and I don't like. I think as we matured, we don't want to do that anymore. Like, we don't want. If we were going to write a comic book, we'd write a comic book.
Do you want to write a comic book, Ben? Edenverse.
If I wrote a comic book, redone. It wouldn't be this comic book. But yeah, I don't have much more to say about this other than I look at it with extreme regret. This is in many ways like the final blow to this project.
Yeah.
And I wish I could undo it.
Again, this would be fine if that was this is what we planned the entire time. This would be fine.
Still wouldn't.
But it's not. You sure?
Yeah, it's...
If we planned 8 installments before this that all led up to this.
No. I mean, none... Like, this story does not belong in this universe.
Okay.
Nothing else leading up to... Like, if we'd done 8 completely different stories...
Yeah, exactly.
But why say that when we could just say if we'd not done this one?
That's fair.
Like, I...
Because I'm trying to be your hype man.
No, don't hype this. This was a mistake.
This is a mistake. Well, everyone, if you want to read this mistake, it's 99 cents on Amazon. I guess this one's also on the fucking...
Yeah, this one's free.
Poorly written .ninja. All right. Anything more you want to say about this regret of yours? Or should we move on to my regret? Which is a much smaller regret, but it's still... Mine's worse, because it's also not enjoyable to read.
Okay. Let's move on.
The Golem Project. This one is something that no one remembers. I forgot it sometimes. It sucked. We had an... Well, I had an idea for the Golem that just made no goddamn sense. He's going to show up in the second volume, but like... We started thinking about, like, why would he show up there? Why would any of... What is going on? Like, it was a contrivance. It was just a way, like, we're gonna just have it be there.
Well, and this also wasn't, like, a traditional golem, was it? Like, this was monster-sized, like, kaiju-sized.
Yes, it's a gigantic fucking, like, 20 or 30-foot golem monster that could regenerate itself somehow. And also, Clarence and Ivan show up and it breaks free. And why? I don't understand. Like we basically forgot about it.
Yeah.
Because it was pointless. Its purpose, like, we eliminated it and it made the story better. And so it's just kind of out there. And I don't think I ever have any plans to revisit it. So it's not a regret that completely destroys the next volume the way yours was, but it's a regret that's just like, it's pointless. And why is it there?
Because we were practicing writing, and when you practice, you need to have room to fail, and you need to have room to write things that maybe don't work. And then we published it.
Missed it, both of them. Yeah, and then we published it. There's our mistake.
Think of this as publishing like a sketchbook or a journal or something. Like, this is not...
This is the bonus content you get with
this
your
is not
collection.
Something we would have published to make money. That's why it's with a vanity press. We've said that before. Like, we never attempted to shop this to any publishers or anything like that.
Yeah, we should have started our own publishing company, and then we could have just written 5 volumes of Edenverse.
We didn't want to, though. Like, we wanted to publish it because we took the time to write it, but we didn't. We knew it wasn't like a proper book.
I will tell you, I was proud that we finally fucking finished and published it, because it was like, I didn't think we'd even get that far.
Oh, absolutely. And I think in many ways it kept us going, and the podcast came out of it.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Like, if we'd stopped doing this project, we'd just be sitting around playing video games and occasionally talking about maybe doing a project. Like, this
was the proto podcast.
This needed to happen, and we learned a ton doing it. We definitely learned a ton about self-publishing and digital publishing. And I think it did make us better writers. It certainly made us better editors. It's just, please don't judge us, I guess, because we'd know. we know what the problems are. It's just, they're like you said, to fix it, you got to redo it. And we just weren't in a mental place to
yeah.
to redo all this
redo
stuff.
It from the ground up yeah. that took years to write out and coordinate and get together.
Yeah.
All right. We're in the home stretch. We've got two more stories. First up is your fifth story and then my fifth story. So let's talk about new friends.
Yeah. So this is another Allison story. She finds a mysterious village that has existed since like the before times, and she discovers that they're kind of a weird cult, and one of the people she meets there is a girl about her age who they wind up becoming friends, and they go on an adventure together. They bond a lot. Allison sort of develops some like protective like feelings towards this girl, and in the end this girl gets fucked over by the cult, and it's set up for a third story where Allison finds out what happens and has a darker turn.
But it was also, unfortunately, a setup for volume two.
Yeah, it was also geared towards that confrontation would happen in Tidal Pool because, or during the rebellion.
Yeah. We brought back the Black Ocular visual monster.
Yep.
And we also need a reason, like, oh, we need Allison to show up in Tidal Pool. Let's just make her go there, because she needs to do that. And I feel like, and this is an issue with a lot of our stories, the story was going great until right at the end when we had to like bend it to fit into the second volume.
Yeah. The connective tissue is the weakest part. It's also the least planned part, and we've learned from that. And we're going to talk about how we plan to apply some of those lessons learned here towards the end of the episode. But I like this story, but it's like you said, suffers from being forced into a place it doesn't really belong.
All right. Final one is Reawakening. So Will's story. And it's my fifth story. And it's probably my favorite story of the ones that I wrote. And I don't know why. Maybe because it was such a pain in the ass to write, or because it was so long, or because I finally got to go back to Will after however fucking long it was. And I don't know. I found it a refreshing experience overall. It didn't even devolve into an action sequence until the very end. It was, I don't know, I wouldn't go as far as to say slice of life, but it was really low-key episode, a really low-key installment until the very end. And then, yeah, then we had to, all right, how do we get Will into the second volume?
Yep.
All right. So,
yep.
Yeah, that, again, that lack of planning rears its ugly head, and it spoils what I thought was an otherwise fun read from an amateur writer.
Yeah, I would agree. I liked this one. And like you said, it's just we kind of found ourselves in a spot where we couldn't let these characters evolve naturally because they had to fit a pre-planned mold that didn't really take into account that characters need to be people too. Like,
yeah. And then we've got the epilogue.
The epiluge.
I remember I have a note or a message from you where you basically said, I guess I didn't think the CEO was evil or vile enough, and you took offense to that, so you wrote him more villainous, and then you put something like, if you don't find him as a really bad guy now or whatever, then I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. I think you added the scene where he sucked the life out of someone specifically.
Oh, yeah, because
to make me shut up.
I had him. I wanted the. So we spend this volume. You've never seen the guy who runs Eden. You've never seen the guy who runs the Faceless Corporation. And I wanted him to present himself as a nice, mild mannered dude. And I wanted his actions to be at complete odds with his persona, and we didn't have enough actions, honestly. It just
yeah
the, that contrast.
He came off as a really nice dude.
Yeah, but we didn't actually get to see him do anything bad, so I had to add him doing something bad. And I think you were right to point that out, because I think it's one where you suffer from, like, I know what I mean, but you do need somebody who's not living in your head, who doesn't have all the context you have, to read it and be like, no, you haven't quite communicated what you're trying to communicate. The juxtaposition is not there. All I see is the nice guy. I don't see any bad stuff he's done. So could you make that more obvious? And I think I was just frustrated that I didn't know how to do that in an epilogue right now. And I was like, okay, I'll just throw something in at the end. And yeah, I should have done more with that, I think. I think you were right to give that criticism, and I think I was wrong to not take it.
Oh my god.
don't let it go to your head.
It's too late.
Do you want to talk about these?
The supplemental crap?
Yeah.
Okay, let me just summarize them all by saying they're fucking bad.
They didn't even make the cut for this book.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what didn't make the cut?
They were set up areas for future stories, but I didn't know how I wanted to do that. So I just made it a book within a book. It was bad. It's really bad. But they're only 99 cents. So if you want to revel in our...
They're not all his either. One of those is mine. One of those...
Really?
Yeah, The Shadows of the Past is a cut story.
Oh, yeah, I have that as its own separate thing. Because the other three or four or whatever are little snippets that, like... I don't even know why I didn't just delete them. They have no place in this fucking story. God. And then, yeah, Shadows of the Past, Ben... That one, I believe you cut that and you added in either New Friends or I think it was Fragile Alliance initially. And then you decided...
Whoops.
You'd add in Alice's story. Yeah! Shit! So, do we want to talk about Shadows of the Past real quick?
No, I don't. Because it's not... I'm not going to talk about every Eden story I wrote that I didn't include.
Okay. Well, we included this one because it was completed... And of the two stories that you wrote that were almost completed, this was the worst of the two. I really liked your other one. As incomplete as it was a mystery and it had some suspense. And this one was just not that great. And you even said, like, yeah, I don't have a military background. I shouldn't have written this because I didn't do any research on it. And
yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
This was our self-awareness was starting to grow. I was like, you know what? This sucks because I can tell I don't know what I'm talking about.
All right. So now do you want to talk about the future of Eden? Or do we not know that? We just want to say, like, good night, everyone. We're reading Twilight next month.
I don't want to talk about the future of Eden specifically.
The future of our writing project?
Yeah, we could talk about writing projects. Eden is tabled.
So let's say Eden Volume 2. Like I said, we met up in person. As we were talking about publishing, we also plotted out the second volume. And then, like, after a year of no progress, we were like, I think we need to talk about this. I think that the reason we haven't really written is because, like, we hate it. We hate the direction that we're forced to go in. And so we rewrote the outline. And then we got, like, what? Like 100 pages or something on Volume 2. And as we were nearing the end, we were like, yeah, this is not what we wanted.
Yeah. So we've decided we're just going to... We're going to shelve Eden. We're not... Volume 2 is not... come in within the next several years.
We actually decided to shelve it as we were writing the outline for this episode.
Yeah.
So, oh yes, actually, after we decided that those 100 pages were going to go, we had some other plans that we both liked. And then, as we were writing this episode, we were like, yeah, let's just put it away. Put it on the shelf for a bit.
Yeah, let's do something else. Let's actually take the lessons we learned from doing this and apply them.
We'll write a bunch of outlines and manuscripts, and we'll hide it in the attic, and when my daughter comes of age, discover them, and then she'll take up the Edenverse mantle.
Leave Brian Herbert alone. I'm gonna say that, like, tentatively. I'll let you know. I'm reading some of his books now. I'll let you know what I think.
Maybe I can make fun of him after. Okay.
Yeah. Let me read his book. And then...
Is that what we're doing next week? Do you think that the third week of January? Okay. All right. Anyway, so Ben, what else are we talking about? We've decided to tentatively shelve Edenverse.
So I don't know how much detail you want to give. We've started working on a new project.
Universe of Eden.
No.
Go on.
I don't think it is at a stage where we can give a lot of details about it right now. Because
if we decide, like, nah, we don't want to do that, yeah, we'll look like fucking idiots.
Well, everything is subject to change right now. I do think it's going to happen. I do think we're going to do something here.
We'll look like those people who write at the end of their stories, give me likes or I'm not going to write the next installment.
I don't know when it will come out. I don't know when I'll have any more information to give you, but we are not just sitting here criticizing people. We are going to try to write something on our own. The biggest lesson we learned from Eden is plan it from the beginning. And if it changes, it changes, but don't work without a plan, especially when you've got two authors on the project, because we need to be in better sync. We need to know who's writing what, when,
and where it's going.
Yeah, we need to know where it's going, and we need to kind of stick to that. That is the challenge of writing with two people. You can't always just follow the story wherever it leads, or if you see it going in a vastly different direction, you need to immediately communicate with the other person that this is a challenge, and you guys do need to sit down then and figure out what the downstream impacts of that are. So we did learn our lesson. We are working on a new project. It's going to be brand new, started from the ground up. I don't think we're going to be releasing chapters early. I think we're just going to release it.
No, because if we release chapters early, we'll fall into the same trap of Eden, and it'll be like, oh, we can't go back and rewrite that because it's already out there.
Yeah, we'll have to see what it becomes. We'll eventually release it. I don't know where or how yet. It's very, very new. So that'll be something we chip away at this year. But keep in mind, you know, Nate's having a kid. We do a podcast. It'll probably be a while before you see anything. So,
like the stimulus checks.
What are the odds everybody will have them by now?
I just got breaking news. Congress has announced that the next round of stimulus will be the friendships we made along the way.
Congress announces the next stimulus will be a free pamphlet on how to pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Become a congressman.
Yeah. they don't want that. But yeah, do you have anything you'd like to say about it? I've done most of the talking.
No, I think I think that, yeah, the writing project is something that we just kind of work on in our spare time. Podcast comes first, and of course, like, our families come before the podcast, so, you know, I would expect to not hear anything until the end of the year at best case scenario.
Yeah. And well, and in the meantime, we are going to keep working on the blog. I'm going to keep writing stuff there. It's not going to be fiction, but yeah, if you're really hungry for something to read, we do post. And yeah, if there's anything that comes out of it that I can share with you, I'll let you know.
All right. So next month, Ben, we're reading Twilight, Midnight Sun.
Indeed we are.
What else do we plug, Ben? We've got a Twitter. We've got a blog.
I want to hear you plug it.
All right. So we've got a Twitter, okay?
And we've got a blog.
It's at WAB Pod. There's also our personal Twitters, at Creed Nathaniel and at, I want to say, Benbo Swaggins?
That's correct. I've never plugged my personal Twitter before, but yes.
Oh, okay. We'll cut that out.
It is at Benbo Swaggins. No, go ahead.
Just cut that. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So at WAB Pod, where you'll get all the latest updates and breaking podcast news. And then we've also got a blog, and that's at, hold on,
blogs.wordsaboutbooks.ninja. No, it's at blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja.
Blog, my bad. Blog.
It's very important that you type the right thing into the URL.
Oh, don't be an asshole. You'll figure it out.
Nate's drunk.
So, blog.wordsaboutbooks.ninja, where you can see all kinds of extra shit. Or short story review on Monkeys on the Beach about a woman who fucking dies by monkeys or something. I can't remember. It was a great short story.
Nate has
it's a favorite short story review.
I'm so glad.
It's a way to engage with more literature without having to hear it from us more. All right. And then we're not going to do that. I think that's it. We got a blog. Oh, yeah. Don't forget poorlywritten.ninja, where you can get all the delicious Eden stories. And once you're done reading those and concluding that, yes, they are flawed, but you also want to know more, you can go to Amazon.com for 99 cents. You can buy yourself a copy of our book. And I say 99 cents because I assume, are we ever going to raise that back up to 5? I figure we'll just keep it discounted forever. The holidays are extended indefinitely, people. 99 cent Edenverse books. You could buy a taco. See you next week, everyone.
That was a clusterfuck.
Just like Eden. Led by a monster with black eyes.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to avoid saying that out loud because it doesn't always sound like
dark eyes. Black hole pitted eyes.
Black ocular structures. Sometimes if you say it quickly, it doesn't sound like what it is.
So oh, yeah. Yeah, go ahead and cut me saying that as well. Yeah. Bad idea. Just actually don't cut it. Just censor it so you can't hear it. Oh, man.
We've hit the off the rails point.
So yeah, that's always the funniest
Unfortunately,
part,
we recorded these episodes back to back, so it doesn't make sense that we've hit the off the rails point for the audience.
That's always the funniest part, though.
Okay.
That's when we start jiggling.
That is when the jiggling begins.